Who else is with him?
Okay, we're recording. Okay, listen, we're recording. Please mute yourselves. Okay. Okay, we're on Daf. We're on Daf Yud tonight. Okay. Yeah, the main shul. In the main shul. I'm giving class right now. Okay. Okay. In the main shul. All right. We're on Daf Yud Aleph tonight in Yoma. All right. So I'm going to begin a few lines from the top. This is around 5 lines from the top. So it says Tana Rabbanan. So it says Ubisharecha. So it says there's a pas. Oh, I nearly forgot. Tonight's daf is sponsored. One second. Tonight's daf is sponsored by Halit. Wait. Got it. Tonight's daf is sponsored by Helene Pizer. Yeah. Tonight's daf is sponsored by Helene Pizer on the occasion of the yahrzeit of her mother, Pesel Batzvi, Zichrono Lebracha. Okay. So learning is Lidun Hashama of Helene Pizer. Clean Pizer's mother. Okay. All right. One Daf Yud Aleph, a few lines from the top. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan. So we learn the Braisa, Bisharecha. There's a Pasuk that we recite in Shema every morning and evening. There are two Pasukim that way. You should have to put the business on your gates. Echad Sharei Batim, Echad Sharei Chatzirot. Whether it's a gate to a house or a gate to a Chatzir, a courtyard. Bachad Sha'arei Medinot, or a gate to a Medina. And here, if you look at the top Rashi, he says, Bachad Sha'arei Medinot, Ish Medinu Kefet Harim Biarim. Sometimes you have like a place, what the article translated was like a province that's surrounded by mountains and forests, become parts of Ode. In Yotzimena Oderech Sha'arim, the only way to get in and out is through gates. Kion Eretz Hagar, the article said it was Hungary, and Rabbi Sobolovsky also said it way. So Hungary is a big plain, but it's somewhat surrounded by mountains. So if you have a gate into this large expanse, the Chad Sharei Ayarot, or a gate that leads to like a village, Yesh Behen Chovot Mitzvah L'Makom. So each one of them have an obligation to put a mezuzah on the gate. Mishum Shneim or Uchsasam Zobatech of Sharecha. Says you have to write on the mezuzot of your houses and your gates. So the gate, you know, so means if I have 2 posts and a lintel on top of it, and it's leading to an inhabited area. So I have to have a mezuzah on that. All right. So now this is 10 lines from the top on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph 11a, 10 lines from the top. Okay. So it says Amar Li Abayi L'Rav Safra. So Abayi said to Rav Safra, "Hani Abuli D'Mechuza." Do you have the place, Gabriel? Okay. 11a. Okay. Good. So okay, you got it. These gates of Mechuza. So Mechuza was a town where many Jews lived, but they also had non-Jews that lived there. How come the Chachamim did not attach mezuzah to the gates there? Now Rashi points out on the third white line, Abulu de Mechuza, Sharei Ir Shishma Mechuza Vayuruban Yisrael. So Rashi emphasizes that most the inhabitants of the town were Jewish. And there's a whole deon in the postgame, let's say most of the inhabitants of the town were not Jewish. Are you chayv in a mezuzah or not? Obviously, only Jews are chayv in a mezuzah. What's the implication if most of the people would not be that way? But let's see further in the Gemara. See, but here we have most of the people were Jewish, so how come they don't have mezuzah there? So Amar Lei, so Rav Safra says to Abaye, Hanau chizuk la'akra dekubi hu davidi. He says, those gates are just made not for people to go in and out, but just as a sort of a fortification or a, you know, to buttress this tower, this Kubi tower. It sounds like something in Tel Aviv today. Anyway, the Kubi tower is, so it's just made, you know, to support the tower, not to go in and out. So that was what his answer was, Rav Safra. So Amar Lei, Sabai said back to him, but after the Kubi Gufa Tibai Mezuzah, he says, even if that's the reason, please, just 1 minute. I'll pause periodically, okay? Just wait 2 minutes, right? This is Amar Lei V'Akad Kubi Gufa Tibayim Mezuzah. So the tower itself, so even if it's a gate that's leading to that tower, it should still be Chayav in a Mezuzah. The Itba Dira, the Shomer, of the Shomer Beit Asurim, because the residents of the warden, the superintendent of the jail, he lives in Kubi Towers, and this gate leads like to Kubi Towers. So even though it was built, you know, to sort of strengthen the structure of the place, but it's still being used for residents. The Hatani, we learn in the Braisa, Beit HaKnesset Sheshbo Beit Dira L'Chazana Knesset. If a shul is not chayev Wait a second. I got to get back to the picture. 1 second. Okay, there we go. Okay, 1 minute. 1 minute. Okay. A shul is not chayav in a mezuzah, but notwithstanding that, the Brisa says, "Bein Knesset sheish bo beitir lechazana Knesset." If the shul has a residence for the chazana Knesset, here the chazana Knesset means like the shamus. And when it's a person, he takes care of the needs in the shul, things like that. Chayevet b'mezuzah. It is chayev in a mezuzah. Okay. So we were asking, or the Gemara was asking about these abulei. What is it? It says abulei de mechuzah, the gates of mechuzah. Why don't they have a mezuzah on them? So that's what Abaye said to Rav Safra. So Rav Safra said it's just that the gates are really just used for structural support. They're not used for people to go in and out. But then Abaye said, yeah, but the tower that they're supporting. Like somebody lives there, and the gates are leading to the tower. So Mamela should be chayav in mezuzah. So let me just continue on, and then I'll get to questions. So Elamar Abaye, so rather Abaye says, so Abaye himself was the Makshin, but he has his own answer. Elamar Abaye, he's from Sakana. He said the reason they didn't put a mezuzah there was because of Sakana. There was a felt. Like their lives are in danger, that the non-Jews would think they're engaged in kishuf, in witchcraft, by attaching this mezuzah. He says, "The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, mezuzah yachin of deket pamayim b'shevuah. If you have a mezuzah that's owned by an individual, so it needs to be checked twice in a seven-year period, means once every 3.5 years. So rabim pamayim b'yovel. If it's like a public structure." So twice in a yovel means twice in 50 years, like once every 25 years. But Amar Rabbi Huda, this is still part of the Braisa, but Amar Rabbi Huda, Ma'ase, there are Tavin Echad, Shebodik Mezuzah B'shukha Elyon Shal Tzipori. There was an incident with Artavin. So Rashi brings down Artavin. Look in Rashi, Shema Ish, that this could be that that's the name of the person, or... He says the other pshat that Rashi has is va'amri lal shema umnet, or somehow that was his trade and craft, whatever Artavin was. But ma'aseh ba'artavin achad shebodek mezuzah b'shukha elyon shel tzipori. He was checking the mezuzahs in the upper marketplace of Tzipori. U'mitzao kastur echad, and one officer, it sounds like a non-Jewish officer, discovered him. And a tam menuel of zuz, and he fined him 1,000 zuz because he was afraid. He's engaged in some sort of witchcraft. So Mela, that's why they didn't put the mezuzahs on the gates of Mechuzah, because apparently they were afraid, you know, like even worse would happen to them. So the Gemara says, Va'amar Blazar Shluchi Mitzvah Eini Zokin. So, but the Gemara says, but Reb Blazar says, if a person's a Shluch Mitzvah, he's on a mitzvah mission, he won't be harmed. So how is it that anybody could be harmed when they're doing a mitzvah? So the Gemara says, and this is a well-known klal of Keichad Kriya Hazeka Shani, where the injury is well established, it's all bets are off. The Chiv, and the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Sefer Shmuel. Now Hashem tells Shmuel to go and anoint David HaMelech. So he says, "Vayomer Shmuel Eichalech." So Shmuel says to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "How can I go do that?" B'shma Shmuel v'haragani. Hashem is going to hear, Shaul is going to hear, I'm on the way to anoint him to Tamar Melech. I'm going to be in deep, hot water. He's going to kill me. So Hashem says, you'll say, I'm bringing a calf, and I'm coming to offer a sacrifice to Hashem. So you see, then, like, even though he's obviously on Derech Mitzvah, and Hashem gave this mitzvah to do, but you still have to be concerned in a situation like this. So that's the way that piece goes. Okay, let's just summarize again what we did, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so the issue was why the gates of Abulei de Mechuzah, the gates of Mechuzah didn't have mezuzah, and Rashi said most of the people there were Jewish. So the Gemara says, so first, by Yisro of Safra, so Safra tried to say that the gates weren't being used like for a dira, in other words, it wasn't opening to... You know, to a residence, they were just built like to strengthen the structure of the Kubi Tower. So, but Abaye says, yeah, but even if this is the Kubi Tower, but there's somebody who lives in the Kubi Tower, though, like the warden from the jail. So the Gemara says, so Abaye says his own shot is, the reason didn't do it is because it was a sakana, that the non-Jews ruled mechuzah, whatever, and the Jews were afraid to even put a mezuzah up there. All right, let me just comment on something that I'll post just in 2 minutes. Now, one thing that comes up is about, this is the shear where the Gemara gives us the shear to checking mezuzahs, which is twice in 7 years, or once every 3.5 years. So first, I've heard Rav Simon, I think he says in the name of Rav Shechter, who quotes from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he says that that was when, like, their homes weren't heated, they weren't cooled, but like in our homes where you have mezuzah inside the house, so Shlomo Zalman wants to say that it doesn't require to be checked twice in 7 years. In other words, it's like with the temperatures going, you know, cold in the winter, hot in the summer. In our homes, everything is like controlled. And then I was talking to a sofer today, Rabbi Yaakov Hoffman, who's in the Beis Medrash, he's a rabbi of Shul in the Heights. He says that if the mezuzah is well sealed up, even on the outside, he thought it did not require, you know, the bika to be that often. All right, now, one second. All right, you know what? I have more to say about this, but let me get some questions in first, and then we'll talk. Okay, so we'll first get real, and then I'll come to people in the hinterland. Okay, what do we got?
Not about mezuzah, but about tefillin.
Oh, okay, one second, Michael. I'll come to tefillin, but Gabriel Aronoff wants to ask a question first. Okay, go ahead. A what? An Eruv, yeah. Yeah, I'm not really following, Gabriel. I don't understand. We're talking about Ms. Zuzet. You have a question on the Gemara?
Yeah.
What's the question? Right. What does Eruv have to do with mezuzah? I don't understand. What is the question? An Eruv, what does Eruv have to do with mezuzah? Well, so I don't understand. So where should we put a mezuzah? Where? What gate? What gate do we have? You mean the Eruv should be a gate? In other words, like each, but the Eruv is just, it's just a pole. Just a pole, and then on top. Yeah, so it's not a gate. Okay. Gabriel was asking me whether the Eruv constituted a gate, and I said it did. Okay, now, what do you have for me, Michael? What do you got?
So the last time I had my tefillin checked in Eretz Yisrael, the fellow said, they're tight, they're perfect. You never have to, if you're using tefillin every day, you don't have to check it.
All right. The Gemara only has the shear here by mezuzah. It doesn't mention it by tefillin. On a derisa level, you would assume that if nothing has happened, in other words,
it's a chazaka.
Right. There's a presumption that it maintains its kashrut. Now, I did see something about tefillin.
But what would not using the tefillin, why would that cause you to check it? If anything, it's more stationary that way.
No, maybe it's then neglected.
Well, I
maybe
think
it's kept right. In too hot a place, you know.
Well, did you mention using the tefillin or not using the tefillin, Michael?
He said, if you use a pair of tefillin every day, you need to check
right,
it again.
Right. So in halakha, there's an idea that if you're not using the tefillin, somehow things happen to it. Like, I don't know, like the rock.
It could be seepage of water.
Well, I don't know about the water, but that's the way it sounds like in halakha. All right, now, let me just do a little bit more about the mezuzah. Any other questions, comments, or... Yeah. So that's a good question. So it seems like it's every 3.5 years, the way it seems. Let me just do over here. Right. Okay. So I'll read a little bit from the Al Adaf. The Gemara says you have to examine once every 3.5 years, he says. But Rashi explains this examination to ensure the mezuzah is not decomposed or been stolen. Radak says some individuals conduct themselves leniently and simply check each doorpost and ensure the mezuzah has not been stolen. or entirely disintegrated. Okay, this is what we got. Shiuri Bracha, however, rules that the mezuzah must be taken off the doorpost, examined internally, to ensure that none of the words or letters have eroded or faded. The Chasam Sofer writes that when a mezuzah is originally purchased, it must be examined by an expert sofer, so forth. However, the purpose of the subsequent periodic examination is to carefully check the words for signs of erosion and decay. And this type of examination can be performed even by a non-professional. The Ruch HaShulchan writes, the one who immediately, now he gets into the issue, let's say I take off my mezuzah to be checked. When I reattach it, do I have to make a bracha, likvo mezuzah? That's the question. So the Ruch HaShulchan writes that one who immediately reaffixes his mezuzahs after examining them need not recite a bracha, likvo mezuzah, because they don't have hesek hadas from the original mitzvah. He argues that just as one who moves his talis with the intent to immediately put it on again is not recited a bracha, so too a bracha is not required if one immediately reaffixes his mezuzah. He says Rav Shlomo Kluger disagrees, arguing that removing a mezuzah for examination is different from temporarily removing one's talis, because the purpose of the examination is to check whether the mezuzah is pasul. Moving a mezuzah thinking it might be pasul and will have to be replaced with a different mezuzah is considered hesek hadad from the mitzvah, even an examination does not take long. Consequently, he rules that a bracha is required upon reattaching the mezuzahs after examination. The Ruch HaShulchan concedes that if the mezuzahs are not reaffixed until the following day, a bracha should be recited, as a new bracha is required by one who pulls or puts his talis back on after a long break. So what he's saying here is, there's a machloket poskim, whether you have to make a bracha when you put the mezuzah back, if you're putting it back the same day. So one side is to say, like the Ruch HaShulchan, you don't have hesek hadas. My mind didn't wander from it, I'm putting it right back. But the Rav Shlomo Kluger says, no, there is hesek hadas because you're anticipating that it might turn out that the mezuzah was pasul. That's a hesek hadas. But everybody agrees, if I put it on the next day, then vadai, that you do have to make a bracha. That's what I want to say. Now, he talks about it here as well. This thing has, 1 second. Now, all right, now one question that's raised here, this is in the Morot Daf Yomi. Let's say I take my tefillin off and I put them on, then I definitely have to make a new bracha when I put my tefillin on. So if I take the mezuzah off, so mesama, I should also have to make a bracha. What's the difference between taking off my tefillin and taking off my mezuzah? So he quotes from Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the stipler, the son of the stipler. He says that there's no connection between the two cases. He says, in other words, let's say I need to go to the bathroom, so I take off my tefillin, because I'm going to the bathroom, I put it back on, I make the bracha on the tefillin again. He says, the bathroom is not a place that we put on tefillin. He says, but a house that the mezuzah required b'dika, isn't it ruwi for, for mezuzah? It is. So it is ruwi for mezuzah. So he wants to say that it's not a half thing. Now, he mentions that some pious people check their tefillin every Elul. Like he says, and he quotes from the Sefer Yeshuas Malko, he says, if you check them constantly instead of kasher, you'll have a richus yamim. They'll be safe from shadim and ruchot and be zechum banim kasherim. All right, what's up? He's talking, well, the truth is people, I think, check tefillin also in Elul, but he's talking about the mezuzah here. He says, bodek mezuzah. Now, in terms of, let me see if he says, I thought I said something about tefillin, but I don't see it here right now. But the truth is, the Gemara doesn't give a shear for the tefillin. The Gemara only gives a shear by the mezuzahs. And that's the piece with that. Let me see. And this is the place. One second. All right, that's all I have on this. Yeah. Okay, so Yosef's asked me, what's the difference between like a if it's a public building twice in 50 years and a private building once, twice in 7 years? So the way Rashi learns Pshat is if I say a public building, I don't want to put too much of a burden on the public to check, because if I put too much of a burden, everybody's going to say, oh, Reuben will check, Shimon will check, Levi will check, and nobody will check. So but if I make the chiyuv, over a long period of time, then that will ensure that people would check it. So it means that ultimately, there's the chazakah, there's the presumption that it is kosher, but that's the way that goes. Then I saw something else with this. What was it? Another pshat about with the checking, but I don't remember right now. All right, I'm going to move on. Everybody good? Okay, so we're on. Let me see who's here. Okay, nice to have the chaver here tonight. Okay, well, nice chaver. Okay, now I'm going to continue on in the Gemara. All right, I'm up to Tani Rab Kahana. Okay, around midway down the column on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. 11a, around midway down the column. Okay, Tani Rab Kahana coming to Rab Yehuda. So Rab Kahana taught the following brisa before Rab Yehuda. All right, now it's going to be a complication with this brisa and different ways to understand it. Let me just say ahead of time that the way Rab Kahana, and we don't know this yet, but the way Rab Kahana understands the sugya, that there's a machloket whether storehouses, require a mezuzah. Let's say I have a storehouse, I store straw there, I store wine there, I store oil there. So the way Rav Kahana understands the sugya is machloket tanayim, whether such a structure is or is not chayev in mezuzah. But within that machloket, everybody will agree that if women use it to adorn themselves, put perfume on, that it is chayev. And everybody will agree that if women use that room to bathe in, that it's not chayev. That's the way Rav Kahana understands the sugya, okay? So let's see, now we don't know this yet. We'll find out as we get into it. So the Gemara says, Tani Rav Kahana, Tamid Rav Yehuda. Rav Kahana taught the following braisa before Rav Yehuda, Beta Tevin, which is a storehouse for straw, Ubeta Bakar, it's like a stable, you keep cattle there, Ubeta Eitzim, a storehouse for wood, Ubeta Otro. Beta Otro, Rashi says, and the Rashi is higher than where we are. He says it's for wine, oil, and tevua, and for grain. But nobody lives there. So those structures are exempt from mezuzah because women use the structures. And the way, now this is Rav Kahana, the way Rav Kahana explains the braisa, wine, the otod, rochitzot, they bathe there. So it means you could say that they bathe there, so it's like, you know, like the whole Tashmish isn't derech kavod. In other words, it's just used for bathing, so it's not derech kavod, like a bathroom, you know, it's not chayav and mezuzah. It's not a room that's used for dignified use. So, but it means that, but for the fact that they were bathing there, would be chayav in that place. So in other words, normally they would be chayav, but because the women are ropes out there, it's not chayav. That's the way Rav Kahana learns the braisa. So Amalei Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda says to Rav Kahana, he says, so that means that stam, those structures are chayav. Now, before I go on, I'm going to say that Rav Yehuda is going to argue that those structures are always patur. Those structures are always patur. And he's going to interpret the braisa differently and say that the only time that it's chayav, or there's a machloket, if women adorn themselves, put on perfume in those structures, then this is sad say it's chayav, otherwise not. So I'm only Rabbi Huda, Tam and the Roch, so it has Tam and Chayavin. But Hatanya, he says, but we learn the Braisa, this is Rabbi Huda speaking, Refit Bakar, Pthurim and a Mezuzah, that a Refit Bakar, you could say like a stable, whatever, is exempt from a Mezuzah. Now, Rabbi Kahana so doesn't have a problem with that because he would say it's machloket Tanayim, but the way Rabbi Huda takes it, everybody agrees it's Pthurim. Ela my neotot, rather, how does he interpret the braisa? What are neotot that they use it mit kashtot? Not that they're rochitzot, not that they're bathing there and are undressed. And also when you're bathing, it's like they have steam and it's like, well, like and dirt is coming off. That's not what it's about. Ela mit kashtot, they're adorning themselves. They're like, you know, putting perfume on and makeup. Or he says, what does he say mit kashtot? Rashi says with besamim, with different fragrances. Okay, so skip the perfume, not the cosmetics, but the perfume. He says v'hachi ketani, and this is where the Rashi should be understood. Two lines above where it gets wide. Af pishan hashim kashtot behem p'turin. In other words, these places, according to Rav Yehuda, are always exempt from mezuzah. But if women are mit kashtot, there's going to be tzad say it's chayav. But this Braisa learns that even though they're mit kashet, it's still patur. So again, so we have, we'll see. Let me do one more braisa, and then I think the machloket hopefully will be clarified. So Amalei Rav Kahana, it's Rav Kahana. So in other words, Rav Yehuda is saying that they're mit kashtot there, that's not a reason for patur. That's a reason should be chayiv. In other words, even though they are mitkashet there, it's still patur. That's what Rav Yehuda learns, and Rav Kahana learned that the fact that they're neotin, they're using it, so that means in the road they're bathing there, and that's why it's patur. Otherwise, it'd be chayiv. So Amarli Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says Rav Yehuda shanashim mitkashon b'hem paturin. You mean if they put fragrances on, it's patur? He says, Vahatania, we learn in the Baraisa, Refit Makar Patur and Mezuzah, that like the stable is Patur from a Mezuzah, Vishanashim and Kashtur Ba Chayevit Ba Mezuzah. If the women adorn themselves there with perfume, it is Chayev and Mezuzah. Elamai Yilach Lameimar, so what are you forced to say, Rabbi Yehuda, with Kashtur Tanayi? In other words, so after you, Rabbi Yehuda, when you look at all the prices, with your Pshat, so you explain that like all these storehouses, like the Beit HaTeven, the Beit HaOtrot, they're Peturot from it. But now you have a steer in the Brises, because one Brisa says the way you're explaining it, that they're Neotot, that they're using it, means that they're Mitkashtot, so it's Patur. And another Brisa says if they're Mitkashtot, they're Chayav. So Mamela, you are forced to say it's Machloka Tanayim. That's the way you are going to have to explain these Brises. So he says, Lididi Nami Stama Tanayi. So I, Rav Kahana, I also say that there's a machloket, but I understand the machloket differently. I understand, in other words, we're both going to have to say there's a machloket. I understand that there's a machloket, whether the Beit HaOtrot, the Beit HaTeven, or Chayav and Mezuzah or not. I think that's a machloket tonight. And then, Lididi, within my shita, if the women are rochetzot there, they're bathing there, so everybody agrees it's patur. But if they're mekashet, then it's Chayav. He says, the Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, another Braisa, Beitecha, Beitcha miyuchad lecha, it has to be the house that's designated for your residence, in other words, you're living in it. He says, Prad lebeit HaTeven, that excludes the Beit HaTeven, the storehouse, the straw, the straw is stored, the Beit HaBakar, the stable, the Beit HaEitzim, where the woodshed. This is the Beit HaOtrot. Beit HaOtrot, we said, was the wine, the oil, and the tefua. Shepturim and a mezuzah. They're exempt from mezuzah, the Braisa says. V'yesh mechayvin. Some say it's chayiv. So Rav Kahana is going to say pshuta kamash ma'o. Some say it's patur, and some say that's chayiv. He says, and we'll see how Rav Yehuda will explain this Braisa. B'med amru, when it says b'med amru, that's a term of art. It means that's the halacha pshuta. He says, beta kisei, beta pursiki, a bathroom. Beta pursiki is like where the tanners, that's a very spelly profession. Ubeit Amerchatz, the bathhouse, Ubeit HaTfila, like where women are tovil in the mikvah, v'shanashim ne'otot behen, and the women utilize it, and we'll see that will also mean, the way Rav Kahana understands it, it means that also we'll be bathing, and we'll see what difference is between the two. Turim in a mezuzah, the example of a mezuzah. So the Gemara says, Rav Kahana mitar satame, Rav Yehuda mitar satame. Rav Kahana will explain this braisa based on his shita, and Rav Yehuda is going to explain it based on his sheet. Now again, I'm repeating again. Rav Kahana holds there's a machloket tanayim, whether you have a storehouse, whether it's chayiv and mezuzah or not. That's what Rav Kahana holds. It's machloket tanayim, and the sugya is going to go like Rav Kahana. Sugya is going to go like Rav Kahana, and it's going to be machloket rishonim, whether we paskin that it is chayiv or not. Okay, so he holds it's machloket tanayim, but the two factors to take into account. Is it used for bathing that would cut against being chayiv? Even I normally say it is chayiv. Or is it used for adorning oneself with perfume that even if I say normally it's patur, and it would be more chayiv because the human's utilizing it? So Rav Kahana Matar Satame, two lines above where it gets very wide. Rav Kahana Matar Satame, Beitecha, this is the way he's touching up the braisa. He says, Beitecha, like Uchtap, he's darshing in the Pasuk. You should put it on the mezuzah. You should write it on the doorpost of your house. Means the house which is designated for your use. He says, so that excludes a storehouse. In other words, if it's you're living there, it's chayv mezuzah. You're not living there, using it for storage, not chayv mezuzah. And then, some say, and there's another opinion that says, no, even then, you're chayiv in a mezuzah. he says, and that's the way the Chaver Paskens in Shulchan Aruch, he learns that even like a chicken coop is chayav in a mezuzah. We'll see in a minute. He says, the emet amru, and again, he's touching up the brisa, the emet amru, bit of kisei, bit of burski, bit of erfats, bit of tefila, that if it's a bathroom, the place where the leather is tan, bit of merchats, like the bathhouse, bit of tefila, b'shanashim, the otot b'hem, and the women, the room that the women benefit, used, umayin the otot, roftot, the room that the women bathe in, turin min a mezuzah. That's the way he explains the brisa. So the Gemara says, if that's the pshat, and the otot means they bathe, the otot means that they benefit from it, but what is the benefit? They're bathing. So ihachi hainu merachatz. So if that's the case, isn't he repeating himself? He mentioned the bathhouse, and then he says the room that the women use. And the room the women use, he said, is where it's like a bathhouse. So he's mentioning bathhouse twice. So he says, ashminu merachatz derabim, v'ashminu merachatz diyachid, that the Tana teaches me a public bathhouse and a private bathhouse. Because I would have thought, left my own devices, that if it's a public bathhouse, it's very foul, meaning you have a lot of steam, a lot, you know, people are like cleaning themselves there. It's like not a place that's like kavadik for a mezuzah to be put on the door to the bathhouse. But a private bathhouse, you know, one woman has her own private bathhouse, not quite as foul. I would have thought it should be chayav in a mezuzah. So the Tana teaches me now. Okay, that's the way Rav Kahana will interpret the brisa. Let me just finish the sugya, and then we'll come back and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda mitaretz tame. Rav Yehuda is going to interpret the brisa the way he, in accordance with his opinion. Now, Rav Yehuda holds, according to Rav Yehuda, that everybody holds that the storehouse is exempt from a mezuzah. And the only thing they have the machloket about is if the women use the room for perfuming themselves, then one side says you're chai, one says you're still patur. So how is he going to understand the brisa? The brisa didn't sound that way. So hachi katani. This is the way that Rabbi Yehuda is going to interpret the brisa. And as I mentioned to you, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be up the shlach really soon. But right now, that's the way he holds. He says, beitecha, beitcha miyuchad lecha. It has to be the house that's designated, the room that's for your use. Says those rooms, those places are exempt, even if women use it to perfume themselves up, to adorn themselves. And some say that if they use it to, you know, perfume themselves, that it is chayav. That's the only machloket. In other words, normally everybody is patur. But if the women use it to, you know, as a place where they put all the perfume on, so that's enough usage that one opinion wants to require. About some, but if it's just used for storage, then divrei akol patur. Then everybody agrees it's exempt. Be'emet amru means truly they said, but it means it's a halacha psuka. He says beta kisei or beta burzki, beta merchatz, beta tefila, that. The bathroom, the place where the hides are tan, the bathhouse, the beit tefillah, the place for tavling and a mikvah. Even though women do, put a perfume in those places, they're still exempt from mezuzah. Because the foulness is so extreme, it's like a bathroom, whatever. It's like you know, beyond redemption with that. Now. So that's the way that they each explain the brisa. Okay, so I think we've been through this machloket several times, but just to repeat again. So Rav Kahana holds, if you have a storehouse, it's a machloket tanayim, whether it is or is not chayav in a mezuzah. And then, but there are aggravating and mitigating factors. So an aggravating factor would be if a woman bathes in the room, uses it for bathing. So even if you normally would hold as chayav, then you would hold as patur. And then the other factor is a mitigating factor, and that's if the woman adorns herself there with perfume, and even if I normally would hold its patur, I'd be holding its chayav. That's the way Rav Kahana interprets it. And then Rav Yehuda holds, no, that the storehouse, all the Tanaim agree it's patur. But the only factor to take into account is where the women are mitkashtot. If they perfume themselves, then one side wants to say that they be chayav, one side says no. All right, let me just do another 10 lines, and then I'll pause, and we'll summarize, okay? So three lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda, stama divrei akol patur, I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so all Tanaim agree that left alone, in other words, with no other factor into account, the storehouse is patur from the mezuzah. But Hatani, we learn another brisa, b'sharecha. It says uchtavta mezot b'tech sharecha. You put the mezuzah on the doorpost of the gate. Echad sharei batim, whether it's a gate to a house, echad sharei chatzerot, or a gate to a chater, as we had at the beginning of today's daf, right? He says the echad sharei medinot, or a shar to medina, to a whole province, and we said Rashi said like Hungary was surrounded by mountains and forests. He says the echad sharei ayarot, or it's a gate to a village, the refet, or is like a barn. He says the lulin is like a chicken coop. Umat Bain, a place where straw is stored, v'otzrod yayin v'otzrod shemen, a place where wine is stored or oil is stored, chayavin b'mezuzah. So those are chayavin b'mezuzah. So that's looking bad for Rav Yehuda, right? Rav Yehuda said everybody agrees they're patur, and here it's saying it's chayav, right? So Rav Yehuda says all the time agrees patur. Echol shani marbe af, turn page and amadeis, echol shani marbe af beit shar af sadrum yirpeset. I might have thought that I would include in the hischaivus and the obligation, Beit Shar is like a gatehouse or a sadra, I don't know, portico, mirpeset, I mean a pavilion. He says, Tamalomar bayit, not bayit, miucha ladira, just like a bayit is used for like residential purposes. Those things are not used for residential purposes. I might have thought that even like a bathroom and the tannery and the bathhouse and the mikveh is also included with the mezuzah. Tamalomar bayit, ma bayit hasu the kavod, af kol hasu the kavod. It has to be a room or a structure that's made for a kavodic purpose. It's not made for a kavod. I might have thought that the harabayit, the temple mount, and the chambers, and the azarot, like the courtyards and the base of mikdash, shachayv and mezuzah, tamalomar bayit, ma bayit shuchol, af kol shuchol. The bayit is used for mundane purposes. He says, yatsu elu shein kodesh. Those are used for holy purposes. Now, you could ask Astira, we mentioned before, that the Lishkat Parhedrin, remember we said that the Chum held that we put a mezuzah on the room in Lishkat Parhedrin, and even Rabbi Yehuda, who said not, that was just because it's Dira Baal Korcho, but if it wouldn't be Dira Baal Korcho, he would say it's Chayev, and then he said it's on the Rabbanan level, and here we're saying that if it's Kodesh, so one way is to say that this is Mechulak on that, it's different opinions, it's one way we could say with that. But at the end of the day, though, the Brayta said Mefurash, that the storehouses were chayiv. So the Gemara says Tiyufta. So Rabbi Yehuda is all up the shlach, and we're going to go like Rav Kahana. Now, one second. So he mentions over here, right? So in footnote 8, the article mentions that it's machloket rishonim. The Rambam paskins that an ordinary storehouse does not require mezuzah, but the Rif and the Rosh say it is, and that's the way the Mechaber paskins. So like the Mechaber looks at the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam. And the way 2 out of 3, that's the way he goes. So he's got the Rambam is one way. Usually the Mechaber is like busy with the Rambam, but here the Rif and the Rush are against the Rambam. So that's the way the Mechaber paskins. So, you know, a lot of times I don't think people realize like different rooms and structures that they don't realize what the obligations are with mezuzah, you know, like the, like a garage, you know, needs a mezuzah, you know, like so different rooms, different things people don't necessarily realize. So let me just read what the Mechaber says in Shulchan Aruch. I have to look into business. I got to look into business. One minute. He's got here. Let me get a couple of minutes. Yeah. Right. So the Mechaber says, I got to run. Elu mekomot shechayvim mezuzah, echad sherei batim sherei chaser, medina bayarod, refet bakar. This is like we're like a storehouse for the cattle, the lulin, like a chicken coop, osrgaim, shemen. He said all those things are chayav in a mezuzah, are chayav in a mezuzah. All right, let me pause for 2 minutes. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything I said so far?
I have a question. If women bathe or put perfume on in their house, why wouldn't the house be exempted? Isn't it the same rationale?
No. Let's go slowly. Again, we were talking. No. In other words, the Gemara had two kemptas. Either let's talk about Rav Kahana because that's the way the Gemara seems to go with. Rav Kahana said that this machloka tanaim, whether a storehouse is chayev or not in a mezuzah. So if I hold it's chayev, but the women are bathing there, I'm going to cut that to patur. But if I hold it's patur, but the women put perfume on, I'm going to hold it's chayev. In other words, using the perfume is a factor that leads me to greater hischayevus. And using it, to bathe is less hischayevus. So with a house, you're starting off with the base. In other words, you're starting off from a different spot. In other words, a storehouse, you're starting off like in a marginal zone. In other words, it's using the storehouse. So it's machlok tanayim, whether it is rizan chayev and mezuzah. But if in addition to using it as a storehouse, the woman is using it for a perfume room, so then even the one who holds not chayev will hold its chayev. Now you push the dial over the midway learn. In other words, now it's dira. Now everybody agrees the dira. Then conversely, if the woman is using that room to bathe in, then it's patur. So in our homes, like the bathrooms are not going to put mezuzahs on the bathrooms, right? That's not derech kavod. It's that we don't leave out. The other areas of the room that's used for a human residence. So it is chayav in a mezuzah.
All right. So let's say you build a storehouse or a barn or a woodshed. Let's say you build it.
Right.
And you're not anticipating that any woman's going to be in it.
Right, that's so what you, I said. So
you'd put a mezuzah up there.
Okay, here's up to. So we said it's a machloket rishonim, whether that room is or is not chayav in a mezuzah. And the mechaber paskins that it is chayav in a mezuzah. So you have to put a mezuzah on it.
Right, now suppose subsequently you get married and the woman goes in there and starts putting perfume on. You have to take the mezuzah off?
No. Perfume is a reason to say greater obligation, not less obligation.
The bathing, right.
The bathing would be like, that the room, it sounds like, is like designated for bathing. You know what I mean? So what would be the case? That it's used for storage, and now the woman is bathing in it? That's what you want to say?
The guy wasn't married, and then he gets married.
Yeah, but
she's bathing in the computer room.
Does the room have any other use other than the storage and the bathing?
Now, my point is, if it starts off without any expectation of bathing, you're putting a mezuzah on. Then it turns out later, their use changes. Do you have to take the mezuzah off?
If the use does change to something that's not appropriate, then lechora you take off the mezuzah. I got to move on. I have to finish up the Gemara. Okay, I have no time for any more questions. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Everybody mute themselves. All right, now. Okay, I got to. Okay, we're 8 lines from the top. I can't stop for any questions now. Okay, Tani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Kamei de Rava. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda taught the following braisa before Rava. Shisha Sharim Petuim in a mezuzah. 6 gates are exempt from the mezuzah. So this seems to go according to the Sa'ad, that if it's used as a storehouse, it's not chayav in a mezuzah. He says, Beit HaTeven, if it's a gate that leads to the storehouse with the straw, Beit HaBakar, like the stable, Beit HaEitzim, it leads to with the storehouse for the wood, Beit HaOtrot, it's where like the wine, the oil, the grain, the Shar HaMadi, the median gate, the Gemara is going to explain it means like an arched gateway, the Shar She'en Lekura, a gate that doesn't have a covering on it. It was a gate that has to have 2 posts and a lintel. This doesn't have a lintel on it. The Shar She'en Gavoa Sara. If the gate is not 10 tefachim high, it's not chayav in a mezuzah. Okay, that's the braisa that Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda quoted to Rava. So Rava said, Amar Lei Patachta B'Shisha B'Salka B'Shiva. You said that there were 6 that were exempt, and you listed 7. So he says, Amar Lei Shar Madi Tanahi. One of the 7 was Shar Hamadi, the median gate. The median gate is subject to Machloket Tanoim. The median gate is the gate that has like an arched covering as opposed to a, like a flat covering. The Tanya, we learn in the Brisa, Kippa, again, Kippa is like the arched entranceway. Remeir Mechayev Mezuzah V'chafanim Potrim. Remeir says it's Chayev and Mezuzah. Let me say it's Patra from Mezuzah. Now the Gemara is going to explain what the Machloket is. The Shavin, Shemyesh Baragla Asara Shatayev B'Mezuzah. Now they both agree that you need a gateway that's at least 4 tefachim wide and 10 tefachim high to be chayv in a mezuzah. They both agree shem yesh bragla sarish ben mezuzah. If the side post goes up 10 tefachim before it begins like closing in, because it's like an archway, so it's one side's going to close in on the other side. Before it begins tapering off, then everybody agrees to chayv in a mezuzah. So we don't understand the Bryce, and the Gemara is going to explain. So Amar Abaye, the Kuli Amar Gavoa Sara, Ein Baragla Shlosha, Lav Klumhi. Everybody agrees if the archway from the middle of the archway is 10 tefachim high, the Ein Baragla Shlosha means I don't have at least 3 tefachim in height on the side posts before it begins to narrow. In other words, the entranceway is at least 4 tefachim width, but the side posts begin to close in on the 4 tefachim. So if it begins closing in within less than 3 tefachim from the ground, everybody holds that it's patur from mezuzah. Inami yesh baragla shlosha, or in the alternative, if the side posts get at least 3 tefachim from the ground before they begin to taper in, then ina gavoa asara. But the middle of the entranceway is not 10 tefachim high. Lav klumhi. Everybody agrees that's also a zero. The point of dispute between Remeir and the Chachamim is, and we've had this before, he says, that the entranceway, you know, it's by measure from the middle of the entranceway to the floor, it's 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim is only like 40 inches, but it's 10 tefachim. And the side posts go up at least 3 tefachim before any tapering takes place. The Ein Berachava Arba. But once I get above 3 tefachim, there is less than 4 tefachim width between the side posts. But I could, in my mind, imagine there's enough material there that I could carve it away, you know, at least imagine that. So under those circumstances, Remeir holds that I can view it as if it's carved out. In other words, I need 4 tefachim by 10 tefachim. So if the center is 10 tefachim high, that I have clearance. And at the base, it's 4 tefachim wide. And the 4 tefachim width goes up at least 3 tefachim from the ground. So it's less than 3 tefachim, then it's like erased. It's like part of the ground. But at least 3 tefachim from the ground, the Remeir holds chokkin lahashlim. I could view it as if it's all carved out. It's 5 in the mezuzah. Rabban and Savri ain't chokkin lahashlim. But come and hold, we can't do that. All right, I could pause for 30 seconds for questions. Who's got any questions for 30 seconds? Michael, do not look like you had a good day today. All right. Anybody have any questions? All right. Let's see. All right. Let's keep moving. All right. Let me move on. Now we're 6 lines from above where it gets wide on Yilchon Beis. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Beda Knesset, Beda Yishu, Beda Shutvin. If it's a shul, Beda Isha, a woman's home, he says, Beda Shutvin, or a home that's owned by partners. Each one of those is obligated in a mezuzah. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious, the Gemara says. It's not really so obvious, but the Gemara says, obviously. So, Ma'u detema beitecha velo beita, beitecha velo batehem. Now, the Gemara here is addressing the last two, the Beit Aisha and the Beit Ashutvim, didn't address the Beit Knesset, and the emes is Beit Knesset is really not chayev in mezuzah, we'll see. He says here, so I would have thought beitecha v'lo beita, and it was just for your house, not her house. That's what I would have thought. Beitecha v'lo batehem, it has to be your house and not their house. So that would be the partners would be out the door, maybe the shul as well. Let me see what he says here. But one second, let me just take a quick look. One second. It's synagogue as well. All right, let me see which one. Oh. Yeah, right. Partners or the synagogue, right? Okay, so that's it. So the Gemara wants to say here that shul is chayev. He says, kamash malan. So we're kamash malan that it is obligated in a mezuzah. So the Gemara says, "V'ema hachinami." So why don't I say darshan out that it's not chayav like we said? So amakra laman yubim beneichem. So it says at the end of Shema, like so you should put the mezuzahs on doors, and then so you'll have lengthening of days. So hani ba'u chayi, hani lo ba'u chayi. You mean only the men require lengthening of days, not the women, not the partners. So mela, since they all need lengthening of days, so they're all chayav. Ela beitecha lamali. So if that's the case, if everybody's chayav, why does Torah say beitecha? Well, so the Rava, the Amar Rava, derech biyecha. Rava darshens out the word beitecha, like the way you walk into the house. So chi akar inish kare yamina akar bereshit. When a person, most people are righties, so when a person walks in, he's oker his right leg first. So it means the mezuzah has to be on the right doorpost when as you enter the house. That's drasha beitecha. Not that it's your house, the man's house, not the woman's house. It has to be derech biyatcha. In other words, beitecha is a shortened form for derech biyatcha, the way you walk into the house. All right, the first wide line downstairs. Tani idach, I learned in a different brisa, beta knesset, a beta shutfim, beta isham, and tamim ben agayim, that a beta knesset, a shul, and beta shutfim, a house that's owned in partnership, and a woman's house are subject to tumat negayim, are subject to Tuma. She says, Pita, obviously they are. So, Maudatima, Uba Shalo Abayat. So, I might think the Pasuk says in Tazrim and Sar, which is last week's Parsha Shavuot, it feels like so long ago, the one whose house it is will come to the Kohen. Lo Lahen. Lo, Lamed Bab. It has to be his house, not her house. It has to be his house and not their house. It says, Kamashwalan. So, he's teaching me, the Bryce teach me not this way. So why don't Taka? I should say that. So Amar Kra, the Beit Eretz Achuzatchem. So the way the article had the pshat means it says. I think they quoted the Rashash. It just says. Another pasuk says, "Beit Eretz Achuzatchem," in the house that you inherit. So just his house, doesn't he? Her, his, their house, just a house. So El Lo Lamali. So why does Torah say Lo, his house? Mishum Yachid Beit Lo means who is the guy I'm going to come to? The person who, you know, he's not generous with his property. She'ena rod salah shil kelav. He doesn't want to loan out things to people. But omer she'enlo she'enlo. He says, I don't have it. Everybody comes to ask him for things to borrow. He says, I don't have it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mefar samo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes it to be publicized. She'mefane beito. When he has to like clear out the house. Because the Kohen is clearing it. You know, it's going to be tame. So he says, take out all your kelim. So the person who does loan, he won't be in that. But this is Ashalo Abai. It means the gun come if the person's hashkafa is it's my house, not your house, you know, get lost type of thing. Now, the Gemara says on the 6-wide line, Ubeda Knesset Nimatai Minagayim is a shul. Tuminagayim means that you have a neg on the walls of the house. So, you know, the Gemara learns in Sanhedrin that it's one of the things like, the Gemara says, Drushma Kabel Sakhar. Like the Gemara says, but Le Samanuga never happened. Lo Tibliot says, Drushma Kabel Sakhar. But the Gemara says, is a shul, Shabbat Tumas Nagayim, Mahatanya, Yehoyu Bate Kisino Bate Mershu Batam Nagayim. I might have thought shuls and Bate Medrash are subject to Tumas Nagayim. Tam Lomar, Uba Shalom Abayat. That the person whose home it belongs to, Misha Miyuchalo, it has to be exclusively his, Yasu Ilu Shem Yuchadimlo. That's not exclusively his. So one brisa says that on the first and second wide line that the shul is subject to Mr. Gaim. And the second brisa says it's not subject to Mr. Gaim. So I have a steer between the brises. So he says, Lokasha, ha Rameir, ha Rabbana. So the Gemara is not a contradiction. One brisa is going like Rameir, and one is going like the Chachamim. The Tanya, Beit HaKnesset, Sheish Ba Beit Dira L'Chazan, HaKnesset, so if it has a residence for the shamash, it's chayav and mezuzah. The Gemara takes it, if it's chayav and mezuzah, it's subject to tumas negayim. That's the word sushtel that the Gemara takes. Just one second. But if it doesn't have a residence, Rameir says it's chayav and mezuzah, but chachamim potrim. So we think the Rameir says it's chayav and mezuzah, Rameir will hold it's subject to tumas negayim. Some hold it's not chayav and mezuzah. The hold it's not subject to Mr. Gaim. What do you want to say, Yosef? So we had one Bryce that says a shul is subject to Mr. Gaim. The Braisa says it's not subject to Mislegayim. So the Gemara says, Talui l'makloket, that we just learned two lines ago between Rav Meir and the Chachamim. Is the shul chayav mezuzah or not? So if the shul is chayav in the mezuzah, that's like a bayit. That's a bayit. The meal is kind of, and if it's not, not. Okay? So the Gemara says, two lines from the bottom. I gotta break it off in 30 seconds, okay? The ibayit ema, haba harabanan. Or I could say that both prices are going according to the chachamim, hold that the shul is not chayav in the mezuzah, which is the way that we paskin. The shul is not chayav in the mezuzah. Below kasha, had the itba beitira. So if there was a residence in the shul, then it is chayav in a mezuzah. So that's the price that says substitutes the guy. Had leipa beitira, and the other one is telling you that it didn't have a residence. So that's the way to go with that. Or the ibay name, or else I could say have a had leipa beitira. Or I could say both prices are talking about shuls. Both prices agree the shul is not chayav in a mezuzah. Both prices agree that there's no residence there. He says on the top line on Yud Beis Siman Aleph, v'had the prachi v'had the kvarim. That the one that says that it's not chayav in mezuzah is talking about a shul that's in a big city. The shul in a big city, it's like viewed like nobody owns it. There's so many people coming here, there, and the other to help the skelter. But in the kfarim, then the owners are nikar, and that's like the beta shukim. Okay, I'm going to break it off at this point in time. All right, again, the learning tonight was sponsored by Helene Pfizer on the occasion of the yortzeit of her mother. One second, let me get the name out. Yeah, that's one second. Yeah, that's Pesel Bat Tzvi, Zichron Malabracha. All right, so let me just turn off the taping, and then we'll say goodbye to everybody. Let me just get this here. Where is the wrong thing?